Hey everyone, and welcome to the Something Awesome podcast. You're a podcast that likes to sit on the fence between nostalgic and you, and today we are here to talk about music. We talked about books yesterday, and now we're going to be talking about some music.
Yeah. Before we get into that, though, I want to do quick check-in stuff.
Okay.
By the time this comes out, I'm either a happy panda or a sad panda because the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the World Series. As we sit recording this...
Oh, they're playing right now.
Game one of the World Series is tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah. So maybe there'll be a note here saying whether Mike is a happy panda or a sad panda because the Diamondbacks are in the World Series, which is the first time in 22 years that they've made it to the World Series. And it's the first time they made it...
That would be in 2001.
Yeah, they won the World Series in 2001 and won 100 games that year. This year, we only won 84 games, but we made it into the playoffs because of the stupid wild card bullshit, which I think is bullshit. Even though my team is in the World Series, I think the wild card situation in baseball is fucking hot garbage. But I'm glad it's
hot garbage. Did they change the rules on that, too?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
There's three teams per league, extra teams per league now.
Three extra teams per league
for the wild card. They go into the wild card, yeah.
Because it used to only be, what, two?
Yeah.
Right?
And then they'd do a playoff, so then it would be four and four. But now it's...
So the games are limited then. They only have to win if
it's... Well, right. So it's three, five, and then seven for the championship series and seven for the World Series. So there's four rounds to the playoffs now instead of just the three, which is...
So three games on the first round, five in the second. And so, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So that's check-in one. So I'm either very happy right now, or by the time this comes out, or I'm very disappointed.
I'll put a note in here.
Two, Avalanche started the hockey season 6-0, but then we lost last night 4-0 to Pittsburgh, so now we're 6-1. So hockey season is starting off good. I'm wearing my Avalanche Stanley Cup shirt today. And three, by the time this comes up, my Finnish challenge with my buddies from the 616 Entertainment Discord will have been over. As of recording, there's only a week and a few days left, so it's next Sunday is the end. And so far I've lost 35.4 pounds over the course of this 3 months. So I'm not quite sure where everybody else sits, but I don't do things to lose, so
you're in it to win it.
But on top of everything, with Alex, Gia, and Kiko, this has been more of a support group than anything. We've all had struggles going on at the same time, not just with the weight loss, some of us more than others. And we've kind of just been there as a support group for each other overall, not just for the weight loss challenge. So that's actually been really nice. And...
Keep it going.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, I'm not stopping now that the challenge is ending. Just the quote competitive side is over. I'm going to continue treating myself better is what I've been saying. It's like, yeah, all right. I'm just going to continue treating myself better. Not as harshly as I'm doing it now because I'm purposely doing the calorie deficit stuff and eating higher protein, less fat foods and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go as hard as I've been going when this is over, but I'm going to continue treating myself better.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good way to look at it. Because, yeah, when you see that there's an ending, you're like, okay, I can, your body, your mind will tell you, okay, just you're done. You can go back to eating whatever the fuck you want.
Dude, right now. The last like week and a half has been like, I already lost 30 pounds. I'll eat a cheeseburger here or there. It's like, stop it. You gotta stay on the fucking path at least until this is over, then you can have a cheeseburger or two. Like, just chill. But those are my quick little check-ins with this. But yeah, so baseball, hockey, and weight loss is kind of what this whole season three, since we've been recording this, has been like about. Waiting for hockey to start. Being amazed that the Diamondbacks actually made it into the playoffs, let alone now they're in the World Series, and my best to treat myself better.
And who are they going to?
The Texas Rangers. We beat the Phillies.
Oh, that's right. Different.
We beat the Phillies.
Texas.
Yeah. Went all the way to 7 games with Philadelphia. Everybody thought we were just going to get swept out because we lost the first 2 games pretty badly. And then we won 2 in Arizona and then lost the 5th game in Arizona. And then beat Philly twice at home. You should see those fans. They were upset.
I bet.
I wasn't, though. Fuck Philly. Pennsylvania as a whole, because Pittsburgh beat the Avalanche last night. So Pennsylvania as a whole can get fucked.
Yeah, I told you, like, I'm trying to watch more hockey and trying to stay on top of that schedule. And so far, it's difficult. Like, the whole hockey, the way to view it is so stupid.
It's insane, dude. It's
like you have to have this, this, and this in order to watch any games.
Yeah, it's either ESPN Plus or Bally Sports Network or a combination of the two. The game of the week will be on HBO Max because that's on TBS or TNT, and that's Warner property, so that's there. Which is actually how I've been watching the baseball stuff, the playoffs, because it's like if you watch on TBS or TNT or wherever the games are on cable, it's always way behind, and I'll get a notification that something happened before it happened on the feed I'm watching. But HBO Max is like the most up to date, like zero lag, no delay feed.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I know the MLB app is definitely a lag.
Yeah. So in the app is, if you watch it through the app, it's fine, but you can't do the playoffs through the app.
Oh yeah, that's true. Cause
it's on national TV. Yeah. But it's,
pretty cool.
It's been crazy watching the Arizona Diamondbacks season, man. We had a great April, good May, had a 50-50 June. July was a little up. We had a shit August, and we somehow still snuck into the playoffs with only 84 wins. And now we're in the World Series. And the crazy thing is, in the 2021 season, the Rangers had lost 102 games in 2021. And in 2021, we lost 110 games. And now we're the two teams in the World Series. Yeah.
This sounds like it's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm hoping so. Hoping for good things.
My little update, I've been playing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, you have.
Woo! That game, man.
We're going to have to, I know we keep saying this, we're going to have to get Wolf in here and do a doubleheader. And we'll talk about one, and then I'll leave the room, and you guys can talk about two, because I haven't played it.
Yeah, I bought it. I was going to buy the standard version, just because like, do I really need these extra suits? But being the Spider-Man fan, I bought the bigger version.
Yeah. They haven't announced anything about DLC or anything, so I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm just looking early.
I know, but remember, they announced... I mean, it's only been a week. Right. As a recording, it's only been a week that the game's out. But... when the first game came out, it was like real quick they announced DLC.
Oh, really? And then didn't they?
It wasn't a week, but it was really quick.
Yeah. I feel like there would be extra stuff, hopefully. Yeah. I would think so. Because as far as like playing the game right now, no spoilers or anything, of course, but like switching between both Miles and Peter has been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, it to me, kind of like feels two games in one.
Right.
And I like it a lot because like I'll play Miles for like one night and then I'm end up playing like Peter the other night. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And some of the things they're doing are definitely not in the standard range of... what we've seen as far as like,
that's cool. I've heard a couple of different podcasts where they kind of been updating what they've been up to, and like they're doing it spoiler free, which is nice. But like I think it was like Vinny Caravella was saying like that some of the things he'll be there and he'll be like, this isn't like a Peter thing, this is a Miles thing, and he'll switch and he'll go and do it as Miles. And he said he did that one day. One time he did that where it was like a stronghold or whatever they're called now, where there's a bunch of enemies that you have to take out. And he showed up as Miles. And he was like, this is more of a Peter thing. And he switched to Peter, but Peter was across the city. So he had to,
he
had to go all the way back. And by the time he got back, all those enemies were like webbed to the walls because Miles took care of it when...
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I don't think I ran into that.
He was like, oh man, I wanted to do that as Peter. That's ah.
I don't think I ran into that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. No, but like some of the suits that I've been unlocking are pretty cool. They added like, I guess this would be a spoiler if I said what suits would it be? I don't think so.
I mean, not really, I guess.
Cover your ears if you don't want to for the next 2 minutes. There's suits. Of course, you're going to get lots of suits from all different from the comic. Like they had the classic comic book version of the suit, which I swung around with. And then, of course, they had my favorite. The Amazing Spider-Verse suit, or Amazing Spider-Man suit.
Oh, okay.
So I went around as Andrew Garfield.
That's dope.
Spider-Man. But one of the ones that made me kind of chuckle, and I was so glad, and as I was going through Miles' the suits, I'm like, if they don't have this suit, like, I'm gonna be a little angry. And they did have it, and that's the suit in the first Into the Spider-Verse movie where he wears the fake costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have that suit in it.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, okay, that's awesome. I'm glad they have that.
Speaking of suits, did you see that Rocksteady added a suit to Arkham Knight, a game from a decade ago now almost?
What?
Yeah. They added the Pattinson suit.
Oh, that's funny.
To Arkham Knight.
I guess because people are still playing it.
I don't know, man. Like, why would you go back? And everybody's like, oh, man, that means they're going to be doing other... No, they're not doing Batman. They're doing that stupid Justice League game. Or Kill the Justice League. Suicide Squad. Kill the Justice League game. Which, I don't know. That last... They ended up delaying that big time because people did not like what they showed. But short of, like, starting over, you can't take those elements out. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today, is it?
Yeah, no, we're not here to talk about that.
All
right. Well, we will be back to talk about video games another time.
Yes, yes, we will.
But today we're going to talk about a certain band that we like that came out with a new album called Blink 182.
Right, 182. Yeah, this was odd. It wasn't quite a year ago, was it, that they announced that they were back together and it's like maybe...
Well, they put out, I think, a single, right? Like, the Edging single. Was it earlier this year?
I think, like, way earlier.
I felt like it was last year that
it came out. I feel like it was, but I think it was just way earlier this year. Because they announced the tour and the album at the same time. And when I heard that first single, I was like, I don't know, guys. Keep in mind, I think I've talked about it here before. I was a big fan of the Matt Skiba era. Those two albums are fantastic. I'm a big Alkaline Trio fan, so I felt like it was like the perfect meshing of those two bands.
Yeah.
But man, when I started to hear more from this album, I was like, oh yeah, I really like this style of Blink 182 song and this style of record. Like, this is, I'm into this, man. And I think I told you when the Dance With Me, when that came out, I was like, what was I thinking? I was I've never been happier to be wrong about something in my entire life.
It's so different, that song.
Yeah.
But it works so well with them.
Right. Just the comedy aspect of it and like the homage to the Ramones.
I love that so much. It was like a perfect
copy
of that video.
Because they it's like they spoofed an entire interview that the Ramones did from like 85 or something crazy like that. So it's really, so when I heard that song and saw that video, I was like, oh, okay. And then the One More Time song, the title track to the album, came out. And there was all these memes going around, and I hadn't heard it yet. And then I heard it, and I was like, yeah, okay, these memes are right. it's a really good song, and I'm glad that they're introspective enough to realize, like, hey, we should have never really stopped doing this. And to be fair, like, there was a couple of times, like, Tom wanted to be more serious and less jokey, so he left and did Angels and Airwaves, which I won't say tanked. It has its fans, but it definitely didn't have the staying power, obviously, that Blink did.
I enjoyed, for the most part, like the album.
Yeah, there's a couple of good songs out there. Yeah. And then it's during that era where Travis and Mark did Plus 44, which was very good and very Blink-esque without being called Blink. And I was like, okay, this is good. But at the same time... But it felt like
something was missing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
And then after Travis's plane crash and all that, they got back together and they did a couple of records. And then Tom decided he wanted to fuck off again, which is fine. Like, he's perfectly, like... I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, you got to do the same thing over and over again for the rest of your life. Like, he wanted to do something different. So he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to do a conspiracy theories TV show or a UFOs TV show. Whatever, Tom. Do your fucking... Make your heart happy. I don't care. And then that's when they brought in Matt Skiba and they decided to stay as Blink-182 and not change the name. And in that sense, I didn't feel like something was missing. I felt like it was... it was obviously a change.
Like an evolution.
Right. And I know there's a lot of people that really don't like those two albums for whatever reason. Maybe it's just because Tom isn't on them.
Tom's out there. Yeah.
And I get that. I 100% get that. But I really feel like in 5 years from now, when those records are 10 years old, people are going to look back and go, oh, these were actually really good. I was being a fucking shitbag at the time. These are really good. They're really good albums. But yeah, that kind of brings us, and then Mark with the cancer. And
when I heard about that, what the hell?
Yeah. And then that's basically what the song One More Time is about. Like,
well, him and all the things that they went through with Travis's plane crash. And then, of course, you know, with the Tom leaving, like they encapsulated everything, their whole entire lives.
Yeah.
In that song.
2.5 minutes.
And if you watch the video,
oh, it's insane.
Like, you have a backdrop that's just showing all the past from their early work altogether, and just like the way it just moves forward. And then having those iconic three words, I miss you, in the song.
Yeah.
You know, because like that was one of their, I mean, for popularity's sake.
It's
one of their
biggest hits. It's also one of the most meme fucking things out there now.
It is the most meme thing, but like for one of like the most radio hits, like to reach a wide audience, it would definitely be one of those, you know, with the Enema of the State as well, I think. Yeah. But that
album was their peak of popularity.
But yeah, that was definitely their peak, was Enema of the State. Yeah, and like you see all that, and just like, you know, you hear them singing, and I've scrolled on, you know, all the apps, and you see there's this video I saw of them at the When We Were Young Fest, and they were singing that song. I don't know if you saw that video, where Tom was like struggling to get through that song because he was just like breaking up.
It's fucking rough subject matter, dude.
But yeah, yeah. So watching that and just how they perform the song live, you can see it anytime.
Yeah.
Like how meaningful this, not just the song, but like this album is too. You know, they got their classic Blink fucking funnies in this album as well too.
Yeah.
That's
where I have things to say. Overall, I really like this album a lot. But we'll get to it. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You're good. You're good.
On the way over here, I told you, I was like, dude, I have things to say. Nothing's gonna be like inflammatory or controversial, but I've got, you know me, I've got opinions.
Right. One of the songs, I'm reading notes because I don't want to forget this. Yeah. Fell in Love.
Oh, it's my favorite song on the record.
So this song, and I wrote this down too. Like, this has old Blink lyrics with current Blink beats.
It also has,
right? That's how I felt.
Yeah, and it's also
classic, I should say.
It's a classic Blink style of written song, but written by dudes in their 40s, not trying to sound like dudes in their 20s.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit more maturity to this song than there was to First Date. If you get what I mean.
Oh, okay. I wasn't talking about that.
You're just talking about the sound.
The sound of it. Yes. Like the sound, like I'm hearing the sound. Like it sounds great. I love it.
Dude.
100%.
Tom's never sounded better. Mark's bass has never punched harder. Travis's drumming has never been better. Like this is
It was just amazing how they encapsulated their old and the new together in that song.
Yeah,
And
God, I love that song.
So good.
I've listened to that song probably no less than 10 times in the last 2 days. I love that song. It is my favorite song.
It's one of my favorites too,
on the album.
But
there's a lot of that. There's a lot of melding of like old school style of written song, but with like a very modern produced sound.
Yeah. Turn This Off is another one that I wrote or I added here.
Yeah.
Which is just classic Blink.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That just sounds classic.
Like, yeah.
That's
just them.
Like that's what you kind of like expect from them back in the day to even today.
Yeah. That's like the songs off the three different versions of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing title for an album. But yeah, Turn This Off is, I enjoy it for what it is, but at the same time, like you come off of a song like Fell in Love where it's like, man, these guys have really grown, and then oh no, they haven't. Which is fine. But that's the
They've grown, but they know when to be silly and have fun.
Yeah, and that's where like I'm of two minds about this album, man. Because like it's again, I really like the evolution of them with Matt and those two albums, and I didn't expect them to sound like that. I expected them to sound like Blink with Tom when Tom came back, because it's a different sound, completely different sound, completely different vibe when writing songs together. They've known each other longer. They have a different relationship, different history. So obviously it's not going to sound like that, those two albums. But the small things, all the small things. Like at the beginning of Dance With Me, like the line he says when he's like, oh, when I teach masturbation, I just like, have fun with it. Like that to me, I'm okay with. But like, I don't know, for whatever reason.
That's very dude ranchy.
Yes, yeah. For whatever reason, Turn This Off kind of turned me off a little bit. Even though it's a short ass, like I was like, it's okay. That one felt like you're trying too hard, but I do still like it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying I'm like that's where I walk on both sides of the fence here with this album. Is like I do appreciate the subtle immaturity stuff. But at the same time, it's like, come on, guys. You guys are almost 50 years old. Do we really?
All right, I like it.
Do we really need Tom saying, if you're an asshole and a dick, those are two things I would lick? Like, what the fuck? Come on. We're a little past that, guys. Come on. Go ahead, Rick.
Fuckface. Also, a classic punk rock stupid shit song that just makes you get out anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I really like what I thought when I was listening to that.
Yeah, that's a good one too. But like, yeah, and like that one didn't bother me as much for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay. Because it's very classic. Like the rhythm and the beats to it is very classic punk.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote. But
yeah.
But yeah, I like it a lot because it's that. Like I miss that. Like there's an certain styles that I like is mostly punk rock styles. Because, like, there's a song with, you know, with the double bass pedals. Like, I don't like double bass pedals.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a fan of them.
You're like, more of a basic 4-4.
Yeah.
I get it.
If it's done well, sure, you know, like, yeah. I'll accept it. Like, this one, I was on the fence with. I like the song. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love it. But the double bass, like...
I hear you. I get it.
But there was also another good song on this album too. That One More Time, yes, fantastic,
amazing,
great song. Title track.
If you want to make somebody you know in their mid to late 30s to early 40s cry, play that song for them because they'll know exactly what that song's about.
But I think the one that really stood out to me, besides, you know, the radio ones that we've heard, Edging was another one. You know, like we talked about that one earlier.
Which is my least favorite song on the album, but it's the one I find myself humming the most. So they did their job.
I don't know if it's the least one for me. It did the job.
It's my least favorite song on the album, but I'm constantly humming that. I was whistling it while we were fucking setting up before we started recording. And yes, we both just recently listened to these albums a bunch this week. This album a bunch this week. But ever since they released that single, like, whatever, 8-9 months ago.
It's just been constant.
In my head, yeah. Not that I've listened to it a bunch of times. It's just, it's so rhythmic and catchy. It's stuck there.
Yeah. Well, it's played on my, like, playlist. It shows up on my Spotify all the time, so okay. I hear it a lot. But yeah, the one of the other good ones, I think it's the last song, is Childhood. Very nostalgic, great melodies with good lyrics.
Yeah,
Childhood. It was the last.
I was like, man, this is kind of a downer song to end the album on, though. But it's really good. It's really good.
It really is, and of course, that's what I like.
Yeah.
Listening to the lyric, I should have wrote them down. It just gave me like that old feeling, which is kind of like what I felt with. It felt like it gave me the vibe of like Adam's Song.
Yeah,
a bit.
That's what I was gonna say. I kind of want to say that.
But I think that's like one of my favorite songs that's gonna be on repeat.
Yeah,
amongst the others.
My other favorite song that's like head to head with "Fell in Love" is Blink Wave.
Blink Wave is good. Yeah.
And I like the title because they're like, I don't know what to name this song, but this is definitely like what New Wave would sound like if we made New Wave. Because, you know me, I like the 80s synth style and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But yeah, it's a really, really good album, man. Like, it's, again, I'm kind of two minds about it because I do really, really like a lot of the album. But then, you know, Turn This Off and a couple other songs where just the immaturity factor, whatever you'd want to call it, is too forward for me. I don't know. Am I becoming a prude?
Are you old now?
I'm fucking old, man. I'm old.
At the When We Were Young Festival, I think it was the When We Were Young Festival, I saw another video where they had the album cover.
Yeah.
Plastered like on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Painted out. Guess where it was located?
Where? By the bathrooms? Of course.
With Tom looking at the men's room.
Like, that's funny.
That's funny. That's
hilarious. Yeah, I guess the main thing I want to say about this album is, like, when Tom left again, I was, as a fan of the band, I was like, okay, I saw this coming. He was going to come back, do a couple albums, get it out of his system, and then he's going to leave again and go off and do his own thing. So when he left, I was of the mind of, fine, you don't want to be there, get the fuck out.
Nah.
And when they announced The Replacement and those albums came out, I was like, these are really fucking good. These harmonies sound great. What Matt Skiba added to the band, to their sound, was so fucking nice. And I, again, was one of those people that was like, I like these a lot. I think these are some of the best Blink albums that they've ever made. They're fantastic. But then when you messaged me, it's like, have you heard the new Blink song you're talking about One More Time? And I go, no, I haven't heard it yet. And you said, well, there's two out and there's two videos out. And he said, listen to One More Time first. And I was like, okay. So I did. And I was like, you fucking asshole. And then I listened to Dance With Me and watched that video. And I messaged you right away. I was like, I totally forgot why I love this band. And this is like, it reminded me what I love about this band. And I was definitely more of a dick about Tom leaving. I was like, get the fuck out. Who needs you? And it's hilarious that, to me, that it's funny that One More Time is about them realizing, oh, like, yeah, maybe we needed to do our own things, but we didn't have to be so harsh about it. And then I was like, oh, I probably didn't need to be so harsh about it when Tom left. Like, but, you know, that's just, you know, where I was at the time and how I felt at the time. Right. But as you get older and in retrospection and introspection, you start to see things differently. And I wouldn't trade those two albums that Matt Skiba did with them for anything. But, like, I feel like this is how it always should have been. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You mean how it was
with this album? This album. This is how it should have always been. Mm-hmm. I don't want to erase those two albums mm-hmm. with Matt, but this is kind of always how it should have been, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Like, those albums are great. Like, I like them too.
I still listen to them regularly. They're fucking fantastic.
They're great. I love California.
Yeah.
That one's great. And it just, I don't know, maybe it kind of gave him that perspective, perhaps. Like, I mean, it was definitely different.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, every band experiments, you know, with the other music. Like, no one stays in the same genre. I mean, they stay in the same genre, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, they remake it. They try to make new things.
100%.
As much as they can.
But a lot of the times, it's like, oh, we're going to just kind of do our own things and we'll come back together or whatever.
When the time is right.
Both times that Tom left, like, it felt very negative. Especially the first time. Because the first time was after Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, right? No, they did. Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time. That one? And I remember seeing some stuff, like interviews with them as, like, you know, on MTV or wherever else they were doing interviews. And Tom just seemed very, like, over it and done.
He was going through it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. And he just seemed very over it and done with it and didn't want to, he wanted to be more serious. He didn't want to do the jokey stuff anymore. And, like, said that. He's like, I don't like doing this anymore. And then when he came back, the first thing they do is, like, the goofy, jokey, immature stuff. And then he leaves again. And then he comes back. And the first thing they do is him talking about teaching masturbation and fucking licking assholes and dicks or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, all right, either you're over it, man, or you're not. But then again,
I think with their whole life experience, as far as everything that they've dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, traumatically with everything going on with.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. I don't know how many more of these albums we're going to get. Or
what, right. This could be their last album just because they want to take a break.
Yeah. Or what their sound is going to be from now on. But, like, yeah, this album definitely had that vibe of, oh, yeah, this is why I fucking fell in love with this band when I was.
This is why you like them.
This is why I fell in love with them when I was 16 years old in high school and heard Damn It for the first time. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I've told you my story about that album about Dude Ranch, right? I bought it specifically because I heard Dude Ranch. And I was like, that's a fucking cool song. So I went and bought the album, listened to it, and was like, this is fucking terrible. And then didn't listen to it again for like a year. And then was going through my CDs and I was like, oh, I haven't listened to this in a while. I really didn't like it last time I listened to it. And I put it in and listened to it and I was like, ooh, this is really good. What was I fucking thinking? Like,
it's funny you say that because I feel like the Ramones kind of have that effect on people too.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I've seen it where people have said that.
Yeah.
You know, like what is this? Like this is just like
terrible.
Yeah. Bad. Like the music they're playing, like it's bad. Their instruments, you know, and how do you just like realize how catchy it is and how it pulls you in and how funny they can be. And I don't know, I just thought it was funny because of, like, I've seen interviews and stuff about, like, the Ramones. Like, I had my whole obsession with the Ramones.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And, like,
they really are kind of
them doing this, like, Dance With Me, which is a total Ramones type of
it's title of the song. It's such a good fucking song, as well. Too, man.
And the way they just, like, copy it. Like, it's a great song. It sounds like something that they would have done, although it's not as, you know, four chord pop punk or punk as Ramones, but mm-hmm. like you feel it.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Feel it in the song.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I remember after coming back to Dude Ranch and going, wow, this is actually a really good album. I was out of my mind. Yeah. And then Enema of the State being the next album. I remember at first really not liking that album because it was too polished. And I blamed Travis for that. I was like, fuck Travis Barker. He ruined Blink 182. He made them learn how to play their instruments. And he made them take voice lessons. Because that was the thing that they talked like, oh, yeah, we went to like voice coaches and wanted to be better. And well, Travis is such a good drummer and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this fucking guy. Get this fucking guy out of here. And then, you know, it was funny. Like, I end up having that story with like a couple of Blink records where it's like, ah, fuck this record. And then I'll go back and listen to it and be like, oh man, this is really good. So for a while I blamed Travis for them not being what I fell in love with anymore because they were very raw. And they'll admit, like, you know, we sang like shit and we played our instruments like shit. But it was the, you know, 15, 16 year old me. That was the charm of it. It was like, yeah, but you're going out there and you're doing what you want to do, whether it sounds good, quote unquote, or not.
It's so we can do it because we can.
Right.
Mentality.
It really was like a punk rock mentality. Yeah. Like, that's what it was. It was like, who cares if we sound good? You're going to listen to us anyway.
Yeah.
And then they started to sound good. And I was like, ugh. And then I got over that. And then, yeah. Then misplaced my rage onto Tom when he left the two times. And yeah, they've never sounded better, man. Like,
it's a fantastic album.
Tom's voice sounds great. Mark always sounds great.
Mark always sounds amazing, yeah.
The thing that really jumped out at me was the tone of Mark's bass on this album. It's very forward, where a lot of the older albums, it got lost like in the mix because of the high distortion on the guitars and Travis's drumming. The bass kind of get lost. And yes, he has some very iconic bass riffs, but you never think like
this. You can definitely hear it. It's more predominant in this album. Like, you hear it.
And it adds such a fuller sound to the entire album. And it's, now I'm getting nerdy about just music in general. Like,
absolutely right. I'm surprised I didn't even touch on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I just kind of mentioned like how melodic the music is and how well it is with, like, you know, it's an old Blink with new Blink.
Yeah.
You know, old, current style to like old lyrics, like, yeah. I was saying. But yeah, like the bass definitely punches a lot more.
Yeah.
The sound is more balanced.
Yeah.
Like, whoever produced it did a great job.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, overall, like, I really, really enjoyed this album. And now, after hearing now, like, what a weird year, right? Because now we've got new Green Day coming out.
Yeah, we just got a new Green Day album, or a Green Day song that just dropped.
Which?
The American Dream.
Yeah.
Or, fuck, I already forgot it.
The American Dream is Killing Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
The American Dream is Killing Me.
So what's funny, kind of like a correlation between the two, between the Blink album and this new Green Day song. Having a song on the record called Anthem 3, I was like, oh, my God. And then the way it starts, and it starts and it sounds like a bootleg Blink song. Like, I was like, oh, God. But then when the song kicks in, I was like, okay. They did that on purpose.
They did. And speaking of that, I just saw a video today that showed them at a recording. They think it's the recording of a video for that song.
Okay.
They were at Denny's in Long Beach. It was a surprise pop-up
show. No shit.
At a Denny's because of that meme. Hey, or what's up? What the fuck is up, Denny's? Yeah. So they wanted to make a video in a Denny's.
That's funny.
And multiple videos have shown up where people are like, yeah, I'm here at Denny's and Blink 182 is playing music.
That's pretty sick. So yeah, like, da-da-da-da. And I was like, no, because it's not the right riff either. Yeah. It's like, it's obviously wrong for obvious reasons. And then I was like, ugh, okay. Like, just right away, I had a sour taste in my mouth. I was like, oh, so it's just going to be them leaning on the past. All right. And then the song actually kicks in for real. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm an idiot and I need to shut the fuck up and listen before I make my judgments. Yes. And then immediately listening to that new Green Day song, immediately was like, all right, we're just gonna make another fucking American Idiot, okay? and then the song actually kicks in and I was like, oh, okay, this is really good. I try to be less I've mentioned this before, like I on this show and on the previous show, as I've gotten older, I try to be less
I try to
be less gatekeepery about things, but then it always rears its fucking ugly head when the subject matter is something that I really love and I'm really passionate about. And it just so happens that Blink and Green Day are two of the things that I really love and I'm really passionate about. And of course, that's immediately where I'm like, "Ooh, this is it." Oh wait, no, it is okay. So I'll shut up now. I'll shut up.
Where their album I think comes out in January.
January.
Survivor, I think it's called.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, and I like it. It's a throwback to like a Kerplunk style album art. Did you catch?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, like, it looked very classic.
Like, yeah. I'm glad like there's a lot of these.
This is more
bands.
The first album because Kerplunk was.
That's
animation.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, 409.
Yes. I'm glad a lot of these bands that I grew up loving are not necessarily making a comeback, but are still around and are really remembering what made them them.
Yeah.
It happened with Metallica for me last year. Their new album that came out, 72 Seasons, is so fucking good. And nobody's talking about it. It's kind of because of the era we live in, it had its moment, it spiked, and now nobody fucking cares. And it sucks because it is a fucking fantastic album and really got in touch with what made us in 1983. And it's a very thrashy album. It's very fast.
And really throwback.
Yeah, and it's really good, but not like, let's just make that again. It's like, it really is, like I said, introspection is a word I've been using a lot, and it really does feel like what made us, why did we do what we did and why did people like us, why did we do this, and not a let's recreate this so people like us. It's what got us here, and that's what it was. This Blink album I really feel like is what got us here. Let's see if we still have that. One of my favorite band of all time is Him. And the lead singer of Him, Villa Vallo, did a solo album and did a whole tour. And I really feel like that album was what got me here. And going back, and again, not recreating, but like reinventing a sound that he kind of innovated. And now this Green Day thing, it really does feel like it's just really nice to see bands
they're going back to their roots almost.
Yeah. And it makes old guys like us feel young again, you know?
Yeah. And it's something they want to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, because like they're doing a really good job.
And it doesn't feel forced or contrived or like, well, this is an album we have to make sound like this because this is what people want. It really feels like all these bands are making the albums they want to make. And I think that shines through in the music big time. Because everybody just sounds more present and motivated, and yeah, and just seeing like random shit Mark is posting on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, like playing the Angels and Airwaves song backstage before a show, and like just like really nailing home like, hey man, we're good, like we're fucking good right now. Yeah. And it's just nice to see
back to being brothers.
Yeah. But I really, really like this album. I'm going to keep listening to it.
It's going to be on repeat for me for a while.
I feel like at some point we have to do a ranking of Blink albums.
That's tough, man.
Because we did Green Day.
We did Green Day.
Yeah, that was not on this show, but that was the last thing we recorded before pandemic. And it came up, we released the week after everything got shut down.
I thought we just reviewed an album.
Yeah. And we also ranked our...
We did, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We reviewed that album. That album was fucking terrible.
All right.
No, it's not. Ugh.
their best, but it's all right. God, it was all right.
The Warning was better than that album.
Warning's great. Warning doesn't get the love it deserves.
That's what I'm talking about. I only say that because the meme is Warning is so terrible, but I actually like Warning.
The video I saw of Green Day playing, that show before the big show.
Yeah, yeah.
He played the Warning, yeah. The song, the actual Warning song. Yeah. And, surprised that, I mean, I guess all the fans were there, but of course they were singing to it, but.
That was also the one song that they didn't erase because that was on their International Super Hits album, too. It was that was the only song on that album. Right.
Was it on International Super Hits? I don't think it was.
I'm pretty sure it was the only song from that album that was on there.
Because International Super Hits was mostly their B-sides and, a couple of new songs. Yeah.
Okay. There was some kind of compilation that it was.
Might have been a different compilation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah.
I heard that International album a lot.
Yeah. That was in between. Them.
That was in the in-between.
That was when they recorded an entire album and scrapped it because they didn't like it and then recorded American Idiot. I still would love to hear the album that they didn't like because they recorded a full album.
Editing Rick here to make a quick correction. Mike mentions that Green Day scrapped the album because they didn't like it and wanted to record something new. When he said this, I kind of wasn't sure that was totally correct. I probably should have said something at the time, but I just went with it. But yeah, there is a quick correction there. Yes, they did finish recording the album and they were ready to master it. But when they came back to the studio, they did find that the masters were gone and the entire album was just gone. So they actually had to, start all over from scratch and rewrite something new. They just didn't want to re-record the album. And decided just to make something new. And that was American Idiot.
And then the album that you replace it with is arguably your biggest fucking commercial success. Not even arguably. It is your biggest commercial success. The album you replaced the one you didn't like with. Fucking Broadway shows. Threats of movies or some shit. Come on.
Yeah.
It's insane to think.
I never did see his movie.
Me either.
Ordinary World?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I wanted to see it, though.
I gotta go watch it.
Yeah. We could start talking about movies again, almost. I mean.
Not quite, yeah. They're negotiating a deal, I think, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or trying to, at least. Yeah, if they show up to the fucking table. Motherfucker.
It seems like everything is a go, and now. The first
the writers time, are a go. Everyone's writing right now, so that's good.
That's good.
It's just once they're done writing, once whatever show finishes their stuff, they're just gonna have to wait and see what happens. But they already passed their 100th day by the time you see this.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was a few days ago or a couple days ago. But
it seems
Brad Pitt was at the picket line apparently, from what I heard.
Yeah. That's good. They need people like that with all the money
Jack
in the
Black's
world.
Jack Black has been going quite a bit.
Jack Black doesn't do anything.
He's always everywhere. But that's what good, though. That's
it is. No, it is good. I'm not complaining. Yeah. But it's of course Jack Black is there. He doesn't have a fucking thing to do. All he does is hang out with his kid and play video games, which is great.
Smith, of course, there. Yeah. I saw Muse there as well, too.
Oh, I know we're off on a tangent here.
Yeah, we're totally off
the rails now. But speaking of Jason Mewes, I saw a picture that he posted recently on Instagram, probably, of him and his two kids on the beach. I don't know if you saw that.
I think I saw that, yeah.
And Logan. I saw that, and I was like, good for you, man. How far that dude has come.
Two kids.
Yeah. How far he's come, man, in the last decade. But good for him. He looks healthy. He's happy.
He's happy and healthy.
Yeah, good for him, man. Yeah. He's one of those cases where you never thought he'd pull the nose up.
Yeah, because I think he drove it twice. I mean, you go on forever with this.
Yeah.
But it's good to see him out there being. I wonder how many years now he's sober. Do you know?
At least 12, that's right? Weird. At least 12? Possibly 13?
Probably more than that, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll look into it.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's going to be it. Yeah.
We'll wrap it. This if you are a fan of, if you're our age and you're a fan of Blink-182's early stuff, go give this album a shot. If you didn't like the Matt Skiba era, you're gonna fucking love this.
Oh yeah,
and you're gonna be screaming from the fucking mountaintops. So this is what you've always wanted. But don't sleep on that Matt Skiba era. That shit is fucking amazing. And maybe they shouldn't have been called Blink 182, but those two, those two albums were fucking fantastic. But yeah, I started by saying I was of two minds of this album.
Did he say how we felt about those albums?
Tom?
Yeah. Or maybe
No, he did release that statement of like saying thank you to Matt for keeping Blink alive, because it may not, I think Tom said something like, you know, if Matt didn't step in with those guys, the band might not even exist today. So they might have just
been broken up for good.
Yeah, so he was very grateful for that, but
kept it alive.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks everyone for sticking around and watching. I guess we're gonna do eventually a Blink 182.
At some point, ranking. We're gonna have to.
I don't know when, but we'll do it.
We'll have to sit on this one for a little while, but
this is good. Yeah, I have to go back and listen to all of them again, and
definitely,
and get a good ranking there. So
I think the way we'll attack it is, I think we did this with the Green Day, is we'll do our top five. That way, we don't have to rank all the bad ones.
Whatever you want. Or the that's fine.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for sticking around. You know, be sure to subscribe and share whatever you want to do with this video. Let us know what you think about the newest album. Mike will definitely look at those and relay them to me.
Yeah. I'm the guy in the comments.
It's Mike. Also thank you to the wonderful person who created this music for us.
Yeah, No Taxes Nigel Bravo, Stoke Crow Comedy on everything. Check him out. He made his own animated cartoon. He's making a video game, trying to make a video game. He makes sweet muse royalty-free music for us to use.
Damn.
And he's an all-around awesome guy. Also, check him out on 616 Entertainment's YouTube channel doing GM Showdown, which is a fucking awesome show.
Yes. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah. Peace.